Good morning, brothers and sisters. On this great feast of the Epiphany, we remember those mysteries of the life of our Lord in which he revealed himself to the nations. He came, we know, not only to save us from our sins, but to make God known to us. And yet, in each of these mysteries upon which we meditate, even in regards to his transfiguration on Mount Tabor, in which he actually revealed his glory, it was still only done momentarily and just to a few of the apostles. In every other instance in which the Lord is making himself known to us, ultimately to reveal his divinity and God the Father, he doesn't do it with glory. He doesn't do it with much power. He does it in a small, in a hidden, in a very earthly way. And naturally, this can be frustrating for Christians. Imagine if every time he was transubstantiated on the altar, he was consecrated on the altar, that you could actually see his glory. You could see the divine presence. Wouldn't that make everything so much easier? Wouldn't that help us grow in faith? And wouldn't it make it easier for so many people of the world to be converted, and pretty much everybody would be Catholic except those who are clearly going to hell? So why doesn't our Lord do this? Why, when he became incarnate, did he just look like any other man? Why, when he comes to us in the Holy Eucharist, does he retain the form of bread? Wouldn't it be better, we think, if his glory was visible, we could see it with our eyes? Well, I want to set up for you a comparison by first reminding you that the human eye, which is designed by God, is obviously, in at least normal circumstances, designed to see. Barring sickness or an accident or some birth defect or genetics, the eyes are designed to see. But notice how the eye sees. It has this power, naturally, in and of itself, but without light, the eye might as well be blind, right? If there's no light shining, if the sun goes out and we turn off all the lights in here, then even though your eye has the power of sight, it sees nothing. It is light that enables your eye to see. It is light reflecting off the things of this world, the material things, and bouncing back into your eyes that allows this power to be used. It's light that reveals to you everything that otherwise would be hidden around you. Now, we know that God designed our bodies, and therefore he had designed our eyes to work this way. And he did so in order to teach us something deeper, something even more spiritually true and important in regards to our souls. You see, the senses, especially the eyes, are very much like the mind, the intellect. The intellect was designed by God to know the truth, to see it, or to perceive it, if you will. And so whenever it sees truth, it can receive that truth and then know that truth. Seems straightforward enough. But there's a problem. The intellect cannot see truth on its own. Just because it has the power, it can't do it on its own. It needs spiritual light. The truth must be revealed in order for it to be known to the intellect. The problem we have is that our minds are darkened because of sin. In fact, everyone is prevented from seeing the truth because we can no longer see the light of God in our lives. And that's why Jesus Christ came into the world, the light into the darkness. What did John say in his Holy Gospel? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus Christ is that light. But he's not a physical light. That's what the sun is. That's what lamps or flashlights do. He is the spiritual light of the world. And his light reveals the truth. The truth about who he is as God and who we are as men. And if he were to come just revealing on a physical level glory and power and majesty, we would be content just to stop there. We would be content just to say, oh yeah, that's enough. Clearly he's God. That's it. I don't need anything more. And we would not go deeper. We would not see anything more than that surface level of glory, which is precisely why he keeps it hidden, and why only in the rarest instances does he show it to a handful of saints. Like most of us would say, oh, I'd love to see some glorious, miraculous manifestation, some vision of the Lord. Many people, I'm sure, even pray for that, ask the Lord, Lord, just one sign, just show me, then I'll believe, then I'll do it. I promise you, Lord. And sometimes our Lord consents and grants the miracle, the miraculous event. But most of the time, God says, no, it won't help you. In fact, it'll probably make things worse. I come to you this way, always, but you must learn to see me. Not with the eyes of your body, but with the eyes of your mind. That is the mystery of the Epiphany, to see the truth as it truly is. And we don't need physical eyes to do that. We need faith. And if we can see the truth, then everything begins to change for us. Our whole lives are transformed. And like the Magi in the Gospel today, we're moved by the truth, aren't we? They're moved to leave their hometowns, travel across the deserts, and to present gifts to the truth, to praise the truth. And I'm sure they talked about this with everyone they met. We're going to see the new king. They're very excited. Now we, unlike the Magi, don't have to travel as far to visit the king, do we? He's right here in every church. And unlike the Magi, we don't have to present to the king, whenever we come to visit him, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Although, you know, I'm certainly happy as your pastor if you want to give those gifts. It would always help things out. But Jesus doesn't need those from you. In fact, what he wants from you is something far more precious. He wants you to make a gift of yourself. Every time you come to spend time with him here in his church, before his Eucharistic presence, he wants you to offer yourself to him. Say, Lord, I have nothing else to give. And yet that's what he desires most of all. And nothing would please him more. First, to see him as he truly is, present here among us, just as present as he was to the Magi. And to give him such a precious gift as the gift of yourself. The gift of your love. Ultimately, that's the eternal goal that we all share, to be with him in heaven forever making an eternal offering of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.